Haman chapter 8. It says that the judges who were members of the secret band of Gadianton began to speak out against Nephi. Now, when we hear that the judges were members of that, we have to say, well, do we have these secret bands today? Well, today we're a lot larger, and the size of our country that has been taken over by the Gadianton robbers is tremendously larger than it was then. So we have to look at the structure. First, do we have the Gadianton robbers and the secret combination? Yes, it's those who stand for a one-world government and are mostly supported by the bankers and so forth. And they do exist, and they do have their great secret combination, whose whole desire is to do the same as we saw throughout the Book of Mormon of the evil men, and that is to gain control of the government of the entire world, of all people, as they said. And it does exist, but we also can have secondary secret combinations, or we'll just call them combinations. Again, just like they did there, we have just like they had in their day with the judges, we've had today the American Bar Association, who has taken over complete control of our courts and our justice system without any desire at all for justice, so that they can have control of it. And in fact, to the point that they've got us convinced that we have to take our government leaders from them, because all government is law that is too hard for us to understand. And again, using the old complex trick of the devil, that it's too hard for you to understand freedom and all, and you dumb people have to have these great leaders, that's how they seize control. But we have it throughout our politicians. We have the insurance empire, the Federal Reserve banking empire, all these things to seize control of different portions of our economy and our life. And mostly it's replacing those things that the Lord has said that he would take care of us, and it's that the Lord said he would be our protector, and they always keep saying, well, we have to do all these things to protect you. And again, we need to beware. I mean, this can even be the church leadership saying you're too stupid to understand scripture yourself, and you need to have them to interpret it for you and tell you what to do. And every single people saying you better beware, and you need us to tell you what to do. And this is not the way it is. In the kingdom of God, and that's not what God has told us to do. God has told us that we're to make our own decisions. He wants us to. We only have growth by making our own free choice, and he wants us to come unto him to find out what we're to do. Well, then it goes on to say in verse 3 why they were mad, and it says it was because Nephi talked of the corruptness of their law. Again, we see today, is that the same way? If we have anybody who talks that we've corrupted the Constitution, they're always considered to be the weirdos, and they're the ones that say that you are talking against our law instead of talking for the law or for the Constitution, and so we have the exact same thing today that people become angered at you if you talk against the law. In fact, most of the people, that's what's we're in worse shape than there, because we'll see here that many people understood and supported Nephi in this, but the most of us today will not support those who stand up for the Constitution or the law given by God and how it has been corrupted. Well, then the Gadianton robbers there, they decide to start speaking against Nephi because they just don't want to seize him, and they obviously have the power to have him put away. But now he has got the attention of many people. And it didn't say most of the people, it just had plenty of the people, and it's just like today. If someone come out to speak of these things, or if when wickedness is thrown right in your face, then many of the people will not condone the actual secret practices when it's put right in their face, and they feel compelled as a group to go ahead and support what is right. But I would caution you even here. This was an extremely wicked society, just as today. In fact, we're worse today. But as a group, they will support what is right, and some of them will stand there and do it. But obviously, with behind the backs or in secret, or when pressure's put on them, even they give in. But nonetheless, the point is that as a group, many, and when many hear it and they have the strength of others there, they feel compelled that they have to stand up for the right. So therefore, in front of the group, it would look bad. Remember, they're only caring about looking. It would look bad for the Gadianton robbers to do anything to Nephi, so all they can do is speak out against him. Well, then in verse 5 and 6, it shows how the Gadianton robbers gained power and what they do. How do we override truth? We just learned that with Aaron, how they overrode his truth amongst the Amalekites, and that was that they build up the pride of the people, or pride will overcome righteousness, and that's always the key. So what do they say? Well, it says in verse 6 what they said to him. It said, "We are powerful and our cities are great." See, we change that to "our country is great." See, we're a powerful people. We're the most powerful people on the earth, and we've really built this world, and we're the greatest country in the world. And see, they start really building you up like that, and they puff the people up in pride, and these begin to be the things that are more valuable to the people than humbling themselves before the Lord. And so that's how they gain power, and that's how they maintain it, and keep people from really fighting out against their iniquity. But nonetheless, it most of them were against, but some do support, it says in verse 7. And they say that he is a prophet indeed. Well, so his working of the pride did not work on everybody, so he couldn't get the people stirred up against him. See, what they wanted, the people against him, and then they come in and like they're, "Okay, we'll do what you people want because we're good leaders." See, and they're further building up their pride and further building up themselves. And that didn't work this time, and many still stayed in support of him. Well, therefore, it says in verse 10 that those who were against feared the sum. Now, even though it wasn't the most there wasn't the majority that was for Nephi, all they had to do was have a solid group that were standing there saying, "Yes, this is righteous," and that he's right. And now the bigger group, they will not go against that, because again, we see that there is a group spirit, and once there is a group spirit of right there, that's very powerful, and the other group won't go against it, because that is much like sinning against the spirit of the Holy Ghost, meaning they know what's right, and so it's a greater sin for them to go against at that time. So what do? They wait, and they sneak off into their secret combinations, or in the back rooms, just like you do. Not there, not be a back room. They just go off by themselves like we do, and then they have their little plottings and decide what they're going to do about it. And it doesn't matter if they actually do something. They just gossip and talk, and they build up support for each other. They rationalize their situation. They take action, which is a lot like the same action they take today. They just support their leaders and what their leaders do to shut that person up. And they act like, well, that man deserved it. They shouldn't have talked out against him. And so they actually, there is a support there. The people themselves don't actually come out against that person, but they think, oh, that person shouldn't be running around saying all these terrible things about us. It's like today when people run around talking about how gross we are because we do not support the Constitution. No, they want them people shut up. When people talk about how terrible the IRS is, and therefore will become a protester about it, and then they get thrown in jail. Do we support them going to jail? No, that person deserved it. See, so we support the government in their actions against anyone who speaks out, and that's what was going on here. Well, so therefore they would not go against the group standing there, because that was against the spirit. And they knew that was a greater sin against the Holy Ghost, so they've got to go off and build themselves up and rationalize some things, and then they'll come against. Then they'd want to come against Nephi in secret. Well, then, so then in verses 11 through 13, then then Nephi begins to condemn him more. And he talks about the power of God. And he's trying to tell them, no, the power is not in you. Don't listen to this man. Don't believe that you're great. God's power is far more powerful than anything. And you have the scriptures. You believe the scriptures that talk about the history of our fathers. And just like today, you have the Book of Mormon, and you believe that the Lord delivered the people of the Mormons in from the east and gave them Utah and so forth. And so do you believe that the Lord delivered them? And do you believe the in Scripture that talks about them? So you know that the truth, if you do believe, that then you know that the Lord is all-powerful. In fact, that's what you claim when you go to church. Well, these people were going to church still. They still thought they were fine, and we'll see that later. And so so he's telling them, so you believe it, and so now you claim to believe it, so now you have to put it into practice and know that you are not the power here, that God is the power here. And how do we go to God to see his power? Then all of a sudden he's right back into talking about Jesus Christ. He's trying to focus the people on the Savior, and that is again the problem today. We have no leaders of churches or anyone talking about focusing on Jesus Christ to solve our problems. Instead, we get little stories about, well, if people would do this, then that'd really solve the world's problems. And they make little quaint statements like that in order to build up their popularity, to make them sound like they're so profound. But people aren't serious. They're not, the leaders of the church aren't doing it in their lives, and they're not telling everybody else to get serious about this being in their life. Nephi was serious. He was serious about telling them to return back to the Savior and focus on him and focus on the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is Jesus Christ. I'll repeat the gospel for you again. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. First, we came to this light, to this earth, and we came here and we sinned. We chose the Satan. By choosing Satan, he therefore said, you have chosen him, so now the Lord does not, God does not have any more claim on you. And so the Savior was given. The Savior was given over to the buffetings of Satan. And so now he paid the ransom, if you want to use those terms. But he has already paid. Having paid that, we now have the opportunity to return to the Lord in order to return to our Heavenly Father and live in the kingdom of God. So he prepared the way for us to return. What did we pay for that? Nothing. He gave us everything. He gave it to us free of grace. There's nothing that we could do. We have done nothing to deserve that. He only does it because of his love. And then the second thing is, then he therefore commands us. When we go unto him, he commands us to do things. What is it that he commands us to do? He commands us to do things that help us progress. So that immediately when we obey his commandments, as it says, we have been paid again. Meaning he has paid us because by obeying his commandments, we have progressed ourselves and we are getting rid of our filthiness so that we can again return to heaven. So he's now paid us twice for doing what he says. And again, what is it we told us to do? He really didn't tell us to do something for him. He told us to do something for ourselves. And if we do that, but we do obey his commandments and we do what he says, then what does he do? Then he prospers and protects us. So he pays us a third time. And in essence, we have not paid him at all. And that is the gospel. And when we can humble ourselves to understand that and truly believe that, then we are ready to return and be his for eternity. Well, he repeats the gospel and begins by humbling yourself before the Savior and recognizing that you're completely in his debt and then therefore beginning to serve him. So, and then verses 20 to 25, he repeats, you have all the signs of the past. Today we have the Book of Mormon and we have the deliverance of the saints to Utah. We have all the things of the past. We have the Book of Mormon. Do we believe them? Well, we say we believe them, but we kind of just give them lip service. We don't put them high in our heart, in our mind, and make them real to us in our mind. And so therefore, as in his day, as today, it says in verse 26, that they are ripening. See, they still aren't totally ripe. As today, we're not totally ripe in our iniquity, but you are ripening. And as you're ripening, you can get ready to receive the condemnation and destructions of God to come upon us. And it then says that says in verse 27 that Nephi therefore gives them a sign, and he says that your chief judge has just been murdered, and he gives them this as a sign. And now this is what we can expect in our day, to have further signs, strong signs, and then we'll see if we'll sin against those signs. That's what's going to cause the big division in the end. You'll have to make your choice. Will you follow the Lord or not? And when you do not, you will have to sin against the greater truth, which will be signs. But notice today that the leaders of the churches are already preparing us to believe that if any signs come, they are not to be believed, that they will obviously be of Satan, that the only people that you're to follow is the leaders of the church or men. And that is always incorrect. As we see here, what was he doing? He was not even telling them to follow him. He was telling them to go to Christ and follow him. And the sign, if you want to know whether or not a sign is of God, if you want some kind of a physical test, then you just say, is this sign's purpose to lead or encourage one to follow Christ? And then you can ask the Spirit, and is that the spirit of it? Or is it to deceive you to follow man? And that is the criteria that you can use to get in touch with the Spirit.